We're going to open our Bibles to Matthew 7:11. I think the Lord is calling us evil here. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts or good things to those who ask him? Let's bow our heads. I want to ask the Lord here. Father, you're the giver of all good things. Every perfect gift comes from you. I ask this morning that you would give us each the gift of ears to hear. To hear you speaking to our hearts. Give us eyes to see you more clearly and a heart to love you. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I'll blame my emotionalism on Mom. That was quite the thing she shared. I started this day at 5:30 this morning. I thought, well, I will get up and try to review. And I thought Larry's house was wired funny. Maybe he keeps the lights out and it's on a timer or something, because I was flipping in the dark trying to find light. And I went everywhere thinking, well, surely in the pantry there would be light. I could hide in the pantry. No light. Finally, I went back to the bedroom and I said, are you awake? Yes. I think the light's out. The electricity's out. I can't find light anywhere. And then pretty soon I said, honey, do you got your headlamp? I need light. In the Bible it says, people love darkness rather than light. I wanted light. You can't see in the darkness. But darkness reveals, light reveals things, doesn't it? And thinking about, I haven't had a lot of time when Mom called and says, would you like to talk? Be careful what you tell the Lord. I told the Lord, if you ever give me an opportunity to talk for you, I will. So if you say that and then he asks you, you can't say no. So I said, sure. And so I said to my husband, oh, honey, I want to share this. No, you can't share that. It's too close to Christmas. Well, that idea. So I called a girlfriend, and she happened to say a word that triggered a thought, and I know it was from the Lord. She said something about gifts. And I thought, gifts. Isn't this the time of year, gifts, right? Everybody's wanting something. So I asked Larry to find me something so I could wrap a few gifts. And so, oh, don't we love gifts? Oh, so I'm wrapping all these gifts up. And I was thinking how Jesus says, I'm the giver of everything. And I was thinking, we have nothing. We have nothing without a gift that he's given us. He's given us the gift of life. Without the gift of life, we're not. We're nothing. And I was thinking of the text in the Bible. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave the priceless gift, his son. That whosoever what? Believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was a gift beyond all gifts. I can imagine the angels trying to figure it out. Why would you love these people so much that you would empty the Son from heaven to come as a baby? It didn't make sense to them. And watching the gift be given, grow up, and then die, so he says, I can give you the gift of life, eternal life. And so I'm not going to focus on the baby. I thought Savasco did a good job with your songs and what you shared. But I want to talk about one of the gifts in particular, the gift of faith. Jesus says, I've given each one of you a measure of faith. Does anyone know how much a measure of faith is? I started looking and trying to find how much is a measure of faith. Well, then I thought of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, well, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you know, you can move a mountain. Well, how much is a measure? A whole lot more. And so I thought, wow, if I was telling my sister, if I give you this gift, but you never open it, what good has the gift done? Well, what happens if you open the gift? I don't really want that right now. So you set it aside. What good has the gift done? I thought of this greatest gift, a love letter. The Word of God is not dead. It has power. This is living Word. And every time you open it, you need to hear living words speaking to your soul. And on Friday nights, and I've shared that over the years of coming to see you, lately we do this biblical story hour, and it's so fun. So I had read John 14, and I thought, I'm going to do the whole chapter. But I got stuck on verse 1, and I couldn't get beyond verse 1. In the translation I was using, it says, don't let your heart be troubled. And so I'm hearing Jesus, don't, Darla, don't let your heart be troubled. Trust me. Trust my Father. And I thought, don't. That's a command. It's not a suggestion. Don't let your heart be troubled. And I thought, well, what troubles my heart is when my mind starts thinking about some things, it starts to get troubled. And the Lord's like, don't go there. Trust me. And I came that Friday night and I said to the group, one doctor that was there, he shared like 4 chapters and he actually covered chapter 14. And I laughed and I said, well, you know, I was going to do 14, but I got stuck on verse 1. Can't go any further. But you know, every single time I have meditated and thought of a Bible story, every time the Lord has given me an opportunity to share that story with someone in the community. Beautician, shared it with all kinds of people, whatever that story was, and it was a story they needed to hear about Jesus. And I thought, wow, how many people have ever had a troubled heart? Every one of us. If you're living, your heart gets troubled. And I thought, what would it be like if I opened the gift of not letting my heart be troubled? And I actually applied it. And I did exactly what Jesus said. I'm not going to be troubled because he said, trust me. Believe in my Father. Trust me. Well, I think I could be pretty happy. My heart wouldn't be troubled about anything because I'm applying. I'm open the gift. I've accepted the gift. I'm claiming the gift. And the gift's not mine till I thank him and claim him. I am happy. And it was so funny because as I was coming home, something happened and I started to cry and the Lord says, don't. Don't let your heart be troubled, Darla. I heard him. And I stopped right there and I changed where my thoughts went and I started to praise him for reminding me, don't let your heart be troubled. And so the thing of faith, when I think about a story, for some reason, it might be how I'm wired, to really contemplate a story, I like to become the person in the story. And to think about how they would feel, what it was like, I like the story to become my story. Then it starts changing my life. It becomes living because it's my story. So, you're going to hear me swap into my story. I want to tell you my story. My story is in the Bible. In Mark 5. And my story is in between another story. And my story, they don't even name me in the Bible. I'm just that poor woman. You know? But it's okay. What was happening, and I'll tell you what's happening before my story so you understand how I was feeling. Jesus had just come from the other side of the lake, on the side that he had been on. He had cast out demons, and then the pigs had gone in, and he came back, he was told to go away. Well, he came back, and there was a crowd of people that had gathered, and there was doctors and lawyers and scribes and all these important people, plus there was beggars. And I had heard about Jesus, and I had heard that Jesus could do miracles. Have you heard that? Have you heard Jesus can do miracles? Boy, you guys are quiet. I'm going to wake up. But you know, I want to tell you about myself. For 12 years, my life had been one of despair and hopelessness. I had an issue, and this issue was taking my life. Do you know people who have issues? Some of their issues have been around longer than 12 years. My issue had been around for 12 years, and it was, I had gone to doctors, I'd gone to therapists, I had gone to every possible type of whatever to get healing. And they had me do weird things, and I tried everything, and it didn't work. Do you find that when you have an issue, you try things too? Some people try alcohol to numb the pain of the issue. Some people ignore their family, become workaholics. Some people turn into entertainment. I mean, when we have a pain and we have an issue, we look for something. Well, I had tried everything, and nothing was working. And I had heard about Jesus, and I decided, the more I thought about it, seemed like Jesus never turns away anyone that comes to him. Have you heard about that? He never turns away anyone. So, I'm weak. I've been bleeding for 12 years. I'm anemic, like really anemic. I don't have much energy, but I want to go to Jesus. I want to speak to him because he does never turn away anyone. He won't turn me away. You don't understand, in my culture where I come from, if you bleed, you're unclean. You're like a leper. If I sit on that chair, none of you would sit in it because you would become unclean. Everywhere I walked, I almost had to say, unclean, unclean. My family had nothing to do with me. I couldn't go to church. They don't allow me in the temple. Ooh, you're unclean. You're not allowed. Can you imagine my loneliness? For 12 years, I had been an outcast. 12 years, I didn't have those hugs and the love that I longed for in my heart because of my issue. Chantel told me, our cousin who's on the street, when she hugged him, he said it'd been years since he'd been hugged. So his issue has kept people away. Our issues can keep people away. And so people had stayed away from me. So I decided I'm heading down because I see there's a crowd and I heard that he was coming. And so as I came closer, there was too many people. There's no way I can get through this crowd. Besides, you know, and even to get close in the crowd, I sort of covered myself up a little so they wouldn't recognize me because, you know, word gets around when you have an issue. People talk about you. And so it's like, I just can't do it. And then I noticed Jesus started headed to Levi Matthew's house. And he went to Levi Matthew's house. And while he was at Levi Matthew's house, he was going to have a nice meal. He was tired. And there was people crowded everywhere. And so being a woman and tired and exhausted, and I just pulled back going, oh, he'll come out. I need to talk to Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jairus, a ruler, a Jewish ruler, he comes right on into the house and says, my daughter, who's 12-year-old, is sick and going to die. Would you come? And Jesus stops and says, sure. And Peter's like, why in the world would he go to this haughty Jew? And it was just like amazing. Why would you go? And so Jesus gets up from the table and And he starts to walk. Well, he can't walk very fast because there's so many people and everybody's crowded around him. So he walks slowly, and people are asking, you know, for healing, and he would stop. And Jairus was walking and feeling a little impatient. But here's where I come in. I thought, oh, if I could, you know, there's too many people. I don't want to talk out loud. How about I just reach out and touch the hem of his garment? I've heard that if you just even touch him, you would be healed. But you know, I'm tired. So I was sitting down a little bit. But Jesus knew where I was. Jesus knows where you are. He came close to me. Close enough that I reached through and I just touched that hem of his garment. And I felt it. I felt the life come in. I was so full of joy. I'm like, oh, I won't bother him. I'm healed. I know I'm healed. And then I noticed the crowd stopped moving. And I heard Jesus' voice. Who touched me? I didn't want to say anything. And Peter gets this, who touched you? Lord, haven't you noticed you're surrounded? There's people touching you everywhere. I can't even believe you would ask, who touched me? Jesus said, no. It was the touch, and I felt the virtue go out of me. I felt the power come out of me. And I knew Jesus wasn't going, because he was looking and he looked right at me, and so I knew he knew. So I came forward and I fell at his feet and I started to weep and I started telling him my story. I said, Lord, doesn't he say, come to me if you're heavy burden? Tell me about it. Jesus is telling us, tell us about it. And so I started telling him everything that had happened in my life and all that I tried. And Lord, I came to you and I just touched you and you healed me. Lord, you healed me. And the Lord said to her, it was your faith that healed you. It wasn't my garments. It was your faith. She took her faith that God had given her, that measure, and she acted on it. Are you acting on your faith? Or have you put your faith aside and you have forgotten that God's word is a living word? Are we living lives that we can say, God has touched me? I once was. I was thinking of the gift he says, I'll give you a new heart. I'll take out your stony heart and I'll give you a heart of flesh, a new heart. Do any of you need a new heart? Mine gets battered and things happen and then it gets hard. It becomes like stone. And the Lord, I understand that stony heart. And the Lord says, I think I need to give you a new heart again, Darla. Yours has gotten hard. And he does this exchange them. I'll take your weakness and I'll give you my strength. I'll take your impatience and I'll give you patience. You lack compassion? I'll give you my compassion. Do you lack peace? In John 14, he says, my peace I give to you. I was asking my mother-in-law, how would it be if you open the gift of his peace? She's like, wow. I said, Grandma, he's saying, I give you my peace. What kind of peace did Jesus have? In the middle of a storm, what's he doing? Is he worried? What am I doing in the middle of a storm? Honey, help! you got to do something. The peace Jesus had, that he says, I leave you my peace. Folks, if we're full of anxiety, we have not opened the gift. For some reason, we have, and we're not believing the gift. And Jesus says, my peace I give to you. not as the world gives. My peace is different. It's a deeper peace, meaning when everything hits the fan, when things happen and all this stuff happens, your faith doesn't waver. You remain solid. And you know who you believe in. And I'm thinking of, wow, how easy we start to doubt and we lose peace. And I was thinking on December 2 when my brother died many years ago. I was a young girl. And the promise that I memorized in God's word that became living was, I will keep you, Darla, in perfect peace if you will keep your mind stayed on me. I have never forgotten that, 15 years old. And I'm only a couple years older. With gray hair coming, but I have never forgot the power of where's your mind. I will keep you, Darla, in perfect peace if you fix, you stay your mind on me. When Peter lost his focus, where do you go? Down. So then it's like, Lord, I need the gift of focus because I lose focus. Jesus says, well, what gift do you want? Just ask me. You have not because you don't ask. Well, I told the Lord, I'm so blind, I don't even know what to ask. So now I'm with a blind Bartimaeus. Lord, I need to see. If you can't see, you don't even know what to ask for. And so it's like, oh, my list, my Christmas list to the Lord is long. But the other story that studying and thinking about that has changed my life that fits with this is the man whose friend came to see him at night and he wanted some bread. So he went to the neighbor and he pounded on the door. Hey, I need some bread. And the guy's like, go away, man, we're in bed. No, I need bread and I know you have some. Give it to me. And he just kept knocking until his neighbor said, all right, here. Was he receiving bread for himself? Was he getting bread so he could eat it? No. I want the gifts from Jesus so I can give them to you. If I don't receive the gift of forgiveness from Jesus, how can I forgive you? Because I haven't received it. How can I love you if I haven't received love? How can I have compassion if I haven't received it? How can I have patience if I've not received it? That story became a lifelong line of, wow, it's not to hoard it. If a stream hoards the water, what happens? Stinks. Because selfish. It does no good. Jesus says, if you only realized, I'll give you living water so when you meet the thirsty, you can give them the water I gave you. So I tell the Lord, give me so I'm so overflowing that I have enough to just pour out. And as I'm empty, I come back. I need more, Lord. I need more. And I have a friend who has a problem with somebody did something bad and they don't want to forgive and they haven't forgiven for 40, 50 years. I said, I got the key. You don't have to have it. Go to the source. Say, Lord, I need forgiveness so I can forgive. Try to manufacture it out of yourself. You try to manufacture forgiveness, Jesus said, without me, guess what? You can't do it. And we're so thick-headed sometimes, we try to do it ourselves. We try to manufacture whatever. And the Lord says, you just can't do it. You can try, but you can't do it. And so it's like, Father, we have been selfish. The Lord showed me my own selfishness lately with my husband and I with being without a job for many, many months. And I'm thinking I need to scale down. And I look and we only have like thousands of books because that's, I used to tell my husband, honey, I have fed my addiction. What did you do? I bought a book. I just love books, honey. Okay. And I'm looking at all these books and we're like, we can't move into a small place with this many books. I need to let go of some books. But I'm like, I love my books. So I started praying about it. I said, Lord, you know how much I love my books. I can't just throw them out. I don't want to just give them to Goodwill. They need to go somewhere special. And so I was sharing this with a lady who had been through one of the health classes, and she says, I have a place for your books. She said, you know, we have a woman's shelter that they rehabilitate women. They're there for about a year, and we want to build a library. Really? Well, I have a library. I have multiple libraries. So I packed up 8 boxes of big, you know, and I'm looking at these, oh, I like this book. Okay, let it go, let it go. Oh, I remember this book. I underlined it. Oh, let it go. So I went to my piano teacher, and he came out to the car, and he says, what in the world is in your car? I said, oh, well, these are books I'm giving away. Well, can I have some? Sure. So he's like, oh, cool. You know, he's digging through. And because I did that, I happened to notice the front cover or one of the books, which book was in which box. And so anyway, he took out a pile and he's going to the house. Hey, thanks. Cool. You know, and I'm like, praise the Lord. So then I go to the woman's place. Never been there before. And so they said, we need a couple women to help her bring in the books. And they came out and they said, no, we need a cart. You know? So one of the ladies that was there, I said, do you read? She said, I do. I said, who's your favorite author? She said, Joyce Meyer. I said, ah, I have a Joyce Meyer right here in the front of, top of this one box, and it's on forgiveness. Here, I'll let you have my book. I love her too. She's a great author. Any other authors you like? She told me, ah, I got lots of those in my boxes too. And then another gal came over and she said, you know, I'm graduating in 2 weeks. I said, really? She said, yeah, I'm going to tell my story. And I says, oh, I love stories. Can I come hear your story? She said, hey, yeah. And I told him my name and I said, can I give you a hug? So I gave him a hug and I said, I'll see you in 2 weeks. So 2 weeks later, I show up on a Friday. The gal's at the door and she greets me. Darla, you came. And the gal I gave the book on forgiveness, she goes, you're back, Darla. I have a story for you. And I'm like, okay, I love stories. She says, you know, I was reading that book on forgiveness. And I put it down and I went off to do something else. And this little voice says, go back and read some more. So I thought, okay. And she said, I started reading about these 3 women who had killed this lady. And then they got pardoned. She said, Darla, I was in prison with them. I know these girls by name. I was there with these women. And God said to me, if I can forgive them, I can forgive you. And I said, God, thank you for letting me let go of my books so someone can get the message. Lord, I have hoarded things that could be out there doing good for someone else. And it really started to hit me. I looked around and I said, you know, Lord, I don't look like I'm getting ready for heaven. I look like I'm going to live here forever. Have we lightened our loads? Are we ready to just say, Lord, I'm willing to go wherever you want me because I'm so light, it don't matter anymore. Or are we so bogged down with so much stuff that it take a... my husband and I looked at U-Hauls and we're like, we need like 3 of them. The biggest. You know, and it's like, it's nothing of much value, but when you have that many books and you have that, you know, it just all adds up. And I thought, how much do you really need? Lord, how much do I really need? And so I keep going back to asking, Lord, for the gift to be a giver. He says, did you know, Darla, that money's a gift? I give you money not for yourself, so you can feed the hungry, so you can clothe the naked, so you can make a difference and you can show Jesus to others. I give each of you time. How do you spend your time? Do you spend your time in ways that will benefit and that will glorify God and that will make a difference in someone's life? Or do we spend our time entertaining ourselves? These are things that the Lord has been talking to me personally. And then I thought, you know, this is the time of year that it's all about getting. And I thought, what would it be like if we said to the Lord, this year, Lord, we want to give to you. You've given everything. Everything we are and everything we have is from Him. What can you give someone that's given you everything? What is one of those things that is ours? Does anyone know? What is it that's ours? Huh? Choice or will? What would it be like if each of us came to Jesus and said, I surrender. I want to give you my will. I'm scared because you might ask me to do something I might not want to do. You might ask me to live somewhere that scares me to death. But Lord, I go back to, don't let your heart be troubled, Darla. If I call you, I will empower you to do what I've asked you to do. If you're weak, don't worry about it. I'll give you strength. If you need it, I'm the giver of good gifts. Why are we afraid? It doesn't matter how old you are. God has something for you to do for Him. And open the gift. And then thank Him for the gift. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me the gift of life today. Thank you that you've given me the ability to speak. Thank you that I have ears to hear, eyes to see. We take it for granted. Let us be willing. Search your own heart and see if you're willing to give the Lord a gift this year. And the Lord says, all the gifts I give to you, I never take back. So if He doesn't take the gift back, you might have a bunch of gifts you need to open in your life. Think about it. You might need some that you need to say, you know, I remember, let me dust it off. Hey, Lord, there is this ability I forgot I had that you gave me. Or, Father, what would you like me to do with them? I want to use my gifts for you. And the one in John 14, he says, I want to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you multiple gifts. But one of the things that I love about the Holy Spirit, and it's only been in the last year have I appreciated this, I don't think I have before, is the gift of conviction. How many of you like to be convicted that what you're doing is not what God would like you to do? You know, we like to be patted, saying you're doing a good job, you're doing this, but the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, I'm preparing you for heaven. You're not going to have those habits in heaven, sorry. I'm wanting to show you, you got an issue, man. You need to go to Jesus. And now when the Lord says, hey, darling, you got an issue, I'm like, you're right. I'm going to Jesus. He's the only one that can heal me. He's the only one that can change me. He's the only one that can give me victory. We are supposed to be victorious Christians. We are people who are ready for Jesus to come because He has done His work in us. If we're so afraid to be convicted because we don't want to let go yet, God's big enough to say, Lord, I'm attached to this sin. I like it. And the only way I can have victory, because I like it, I don't want to let go, is, Lord, you're going to have to change my heart so that my heart no longer desires this sin. That it eventually goes, you know what? I could live without you. You're no longer going to hold me. He says, I've come to set those that are in bondage free. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus says, I've come to fulfill. I've come to prepare you to meet me. And the woman who in 12 years, the thing Jesus that I didn't say, which now came back to my mind, was Jesus said to her, daughter, we're his children. He calls you son, daughter. I love you. It's your faith that will make you whole. And the faith is complete trust in Jesus. Trust that he will do for you what you cannot do. And we can't do anything. So he gets all the glory. There's nothing we can do except what he's done for us. Why would you not want to accept the gift? I don't understand, other than the devil has deceived us, thinking that the cost is too high. If you accept it, man, you may have to worship on a different day or eat different or drink or whatever. And instead of going, embrace that, Lord, you've loved me when I was a sinner. You loved me when I was an enemy. You died for me when I didn't even know you. Your love is beyond my comprehension. And so I'm constantly saying to the Lord, I need your love, your kind of love. My love is so conditional. You do certain things, and pretty soon I'm like, I don't know. But it's like, I can love the way Jesus loves if I receive and accept his love. And then I can start to see you. And that's what I saw at the thing when I heard the woman share her story, was they all sat there knowing their brokenness. Do we sit here recognizing our brokenness and that we need to ask Jesus for forgiveness? Ask Jesus to make us whole. Ask God to clean our mind because our minds are dirty. Clean our thoughts because our thoughts make our actions. Lord, we just need you. So I want to have us bow our heads and close with asking the Lord if... And those of you who want to, raise your hand in prayer and ask, give the Lord your gift. Just raise it up if you want to. Gracious Lord, you are the giver of all these gifts. Thank you that you've given each one here the gift of faith. Oh, Father, let us open that gift and start to use that faith, that faith and works would go together, and that it would start motivating us to live our lives in accordance to your will. Father, I myself want to raise my hands now. I'm offering you my will. I choose, Lord, to let you be the Lord of my life. Lord, come in and transform our minds by renewing them, by they be focused on you and not ourselves. Lord, let us not go on another year the same. Let us keep coming to you for the gifts, and that we would open the gifts and we would share those gifts with our neighbors, our fellow friends, saying, let me share with what Jesus has given me with you. He's given me joy because I'm forgiven. He's given me peace in the middle of a storm. He's given me endurance when the suffering goes on. He's given me perseverance when I wanted to quit. Father, you give us all these, and let us receive in order to give to others. Thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you love us. And oh, Lord, give us eyes to see the love, that it would change us forever. And Lord, prepare us. Take out your chisel, hack on us, saw on us, burn us. Get rid of the garbage, Lord, that we'd be ready to meet you. In Jesus' name, amen.